Well, praise the Lord, all. We have just finished blowing the shofar. Yes, we like to do that as often as we can. I'm sure the folks around would like to know what's that they hear. Well, it's the trump of God sounding on this 26th of May, 2019, otherwise known as Memorial Day weekend, launching us into summer. And we get some summertime weather today. So we're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she will open us in prayer today.
Well, Heavenly Father, we are lifted up. When we look out the window and we see the beauty that you've given us, the beauty of this season, when everything is coming to life and just displaying your glory. We're so appreciative of that. And if we just take a moment in our busy schedules to stop and reflect on what that really means, what it took to make it so beautiful, to give us so much that you gave us because you loved us and you do love us. And Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, throughout our country, there are many events going on that recognize the sacrifice of life given by so many who have fought ardently for our country, for our freedom. And Lord, many of us deeply, deeply appreciate that fight, and we have an understanding of it. And there are many others, Lord, in this day and time who perhaps do not have that same understanding. And we pray that their hearts would be touched, that things that they see and they hear this weekend might pique their interest, and that they too would have an understanding, a better understanding of what it means to fight for freedom, religious freedom, and all the freedoms that we enjoy in this great country. We thank you, Lord, for leading us down a good path, down a right path, down a righteous path. In your name, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for all you provide for us abundantly. In your name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, we're going to introduce a new song today we haven't sung before. I have years ago, but I haven't sung it recently very much. It's called, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Good, let's do it again. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Good. Well, it'll take us a little time to get together on that one. Make sure we have the right tune and all. But we know some of these others. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will hear Him from His holy heaven with the saving grace of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright unto Thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto Thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then will I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold His beauty, the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. I will trust in You. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. God will uphold him. God will uphold him. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Okay, that begs the question. Who's ordering your steps today? If it isn't the Lord, you're out of step. Be in step with the Lord. And of course, this Memorial Day weekend, where we're honoring those and died in service of their country, the biggest honor of those who died in honor of his country, so to speak, was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He died in the war against sin, he died in the war against darkness, and he died for us. Well, in our quips and quotes this week, General Douglas MacArthur, I'm a fan of his, "The soldier above all others prays for peace, for it is the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war." That certainly is true. In 1631, the General Court of Massachusetts Bay Colony decreed that no man shall be admitted to the body politic, but such as members of some of the churches within the limits of this colony. Separation of church and state was an unthinkable concept in early American colonialism. Chicago Cubs relief pitcher Steve Shisek has revealed his secret to staying calm at those high-pressure moments on the baseball field. He keeps a biblical reminder in his back pocket. Shisek, a 32-year-old right-hander from Falmouth, Mass. Beautiful place, Falmouth, Massachusetts, on the Cape, has stashed away a laminated Bible verse every game since 2011. The verse, Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Wow. It's a very profound reminder that keeps Shisek steady during these tense moments. There's so much pressure in the game, the pitcher told the Chicago Daily Herald, "more than you can imagine. When you're out there and the lights are on, your heart's pumping. I like to slow down and read it. It helps me put everything in perspective." Underneath the verse reads a couple of simple pointers to help Shisek get the best out of himself. "Stay smooth," one reads, while the other reminds him to keep an easy speed. On Instagram, the pitcher said that having the card on game days affords him a few moments to slow down for a moment and read it and remember who he is and who it is I am to honor and who I am thankful to for allowing me to play this game. Trench Cox, who was pretty famous in the founding era, told us that unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. Cox also addressed the kinds of arms included. "Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American." Oh, how we could get this across to people today. That's the Founding Fathers' intent for us. And here's a good one that I was reminded of this week. "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace." Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, wrote that song, and he wrote it. He wrote 1,000 songs, at least, that many of which we still sing. Well, Brian Fisher, a commentator, said, "America is beginning to run out of Americans. We're breeding ourselves out of existence. Our fertility rate has plunged to 1.7 births per woman, the lowest it has ever been. Since the replacement rate is 2 to 1, this generation isn't even making enough babies to replace itself." That's not good news, is it? "Against the insidious wiles of foreign influence, the jealousy of a free people ought to be constantly awake, since history and experience prove that foreign influence is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. George Washington, 1796. Semper vigilans, fortis paratus et fidelis, pro Deo et libertat, 1776. And of course, it basically means stay vigilant, stay fortified, and for God and liberty. Yes, for God and liberty. 173 despots would surely be as oppressive as one. That James Madison said in 1788. If Congress can do whatever in their general discretion can be done by money and will promote the general welfare, the government is no longer a limited one, possessing enumerated powers, but an indefinite one subject to particular exceptions. James Madison, 1792. Oh, how we need to be reading these very statements to legislators in all branches of government across our country. Ronald Reagan, on Memorial Day in 1986, President number 40, Ronald Reagan. I'm a fan of Ronald Reagan. A day of thanks for the valor of others, a day to remember the splendor of America and those of her children who rest in this cemetery and others. In a nation where little children, born and unborn, are slaughtered, no one is safe. Fyodor Dostoevsky, the author of Crime and Punishment, etc., said, "If God is dead, then nothing is morally wrong." And we are seeing this taking place around us everywhere. Well, of course, I'd like to give you a little history of Memorial Day. And I'm going to do that very soon. In the meanwhile, you can turn to the 69th chapter of the Book of Psalms. Psalm 69, please. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. There'll be two of us reading for today. And Psalm 69 has, let's see, I think it has 30 verses.
36.
36 verses. Okay, we'll read through all of it. And we'll start with verse 1, and I will read from verse 1 through 18, and Mrs. Lear, if you'll read the second 18. Psalm 69, and verse 1, reading from the English Standard Version. To the choir master, according to Lilies of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I'm weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim, and waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me. O God of Israel, for it is for your sake that I have borne reproach. That dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house that consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God. In the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of mine enemies. And that was Psalm 69, verse 1 through 18 from the English Standard Version.
And continuing on in Psalm 69, beginning at verse 19. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart, so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. And to them, punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. That was Psalm 69, verses 19 through 36 from the English Standard Version.
Praise God for the reading of his word. As we always know, every time we open the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, as we do today, as always, he teaches us from God's word, from his word, and a lot of things come out. I believe that the Lord led me to use this passage of scripture today on our Memorial Day weekend Sunday service, because it speaks as though somebody who might be in a foxhole in war. It speaks about somebody at war. I mean, obviously the spiritual war. And some of the remedies, if you will, for spiritual war and the things that in spiritual war we need to do. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. Verse 6, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. I mean, that's very telling, isn't it? And I ask myself, Lord, and pray the same thing, that I would be a good witness for Christ, that I'd be a good soldier for Christ, that I'd be a good witness for my country, that I'd be a good person to witness for my family, and so forth and so on. Because, of course, trusting in self is one of the worst things of all. I trust in the Holy Spirit guiding me and the Holy Spirit in me, but I don't trust in myself. Because trusting in ourselves, we become vainglorious and so forth. Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of mine enemies. We think about how many soldiers have been taken captive and become either refugees or end up in prison camps and so forth and so on over years. Many of them die in combat, but many of them die in prisoner of war camps. And, of course, many have died in prisoner of war camps. And so we think about them, we think about ourselves in this war of life that we're in, that we need the Lord to redeem our soul, but we need Him to ransom us because of our enemies. And many times that happens, we can actually have prisoner exchanges and we can pay money to get some prisoners out and so forth and so on. So the Lord has already paid the price to redeem us, and the Lord has paid the price for us to be set free. In verse 29, but I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. And of course, the psalmist here, presumably to be King David, was saying whatever pain he was afflicted with, whether it was physical pain or whatever, he said, I'm afflicted and in pain. That kind of gives you the idea of whatever the affliction is and the pain that comes with it, whether it be emotional, physical, or whatever else. We find many people that are afflicted and are in pain, emotionally, physically, spiritually, or whatever else. And what is the right way to do that? Call out for a doctor? Well, maybe, but we call out for Dr. Jesus. And we call out for Him, and He is the one that can be trusted. I will praise the name of God with a song. I'll get this, folks. You want to talk about spiritual warfare? One of the greatest weapons in spiritual warfare, of course, is praying in the Spirit. But along with praying in the Spirit, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him through thanksgiving or with thanksgiving. That's so important. That's spiritual warfare, and we need to be doing that. And people don't break out in song as they should throughout the day. When you're driving along and you feel the enemy is attacking you, break out in a song and a praise for God and thanksgiving. And you really want to make the devil mad? That makes him really mad. Now, don't be afraid of making him any more mad than he is, because he's going to get mad at you no matter what. So make him really mad, okay? For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise His own people who are prisoners. And that's from verse 33, and we think about that also for soldiers in war. That we don't turn our back because they're captured, that our soldiers are captured. We turn our backs on them and say, forget them, they've been captured. No. In the same way, the Lord doesn't turn His back on us when we've been captured and things in the world. And of course, when He says He hears the needy, we immediately think of needy as social justice kind of a thing, where the needy are people that are hungry or they're needing clothes and so forth and so on. But that's not the greatest need there is. And that's not the most needy. We're talking about somebody whose soul is thirsty and crying out to the Lord. That kind of needy. And of course, and that the Lord does not despise His own people who are prisoners. So the kind of prayers we're offering up are not prayers like, I don't need anything. You know, and we native New Englanders, oh, I don't need anything. I'm all set. I've shared this before, how it really makes me want to vomit to think about people saying, I'm all set. You're not all set. What do you mean you're all set? You're only all set if you're right with Jesus, if your heart's right with the Lord. And of course, at the end of the chapter, where it says, and those who love His name shall dwell in it, right? The offspring of His servants shall inherit it, okay? For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of His servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Are you an offspring of his servants? I can't say that I am, necessarily. I am a servant of the Lord, but I'm not necessarily the offspring of a servant of the Lord. Somewhere back in my heritage, I know I've got some pastors and some Christians and so forth and so on, to a certain degree, and even in my grandmother's generation. And those who love his name shall dwell in it. Do you love the name of Christ? Do you know how hateful people are when they use the name of the Lord and they use it in vain? That's not what the Lord means here. You're not supposed to use his name in vain. I love the name of Jesus. I love saying the name of Jesus, either in Greek or Hebrew or whatever, Yeshua HaMashiach, however you say it. It's not just the name Jesus. I love only to hear the name Jesus. And of course, Jesus is Yeshua, which means Joshua. God is with us. God is salvation. That's what I love. I love that person who is our Savior, called by many names. Well, a little history today on Memorial Day as we go. I want to read the tribute that Ronald Reagan gave. Memorial Day is a time to remember the fallen heroes throughout our nation's history who gave the last full measure of devotion to their country. Mere words cannot capture the enormity of their sacrifice or the anguish of loved ones they left behind. Yet the words of that great communicator, Ronald Reagan, come pretty close. I certainly invite you to view President Reagan's moving tribute to our fallen heroes, as well as a second video dramatically depicting the enduring loss of those left behind. You can find that at Thomas More Law Center. Also, on this Memorial Day weekend, remember and pray for our troops now deployed in harm's way. And I couldn't begin to list all the places that our troops are in across the world and the harm's way they're in, but they're definitely in harm's way. And of course, the saber rattling, whether it's just saber rattling or whether the saber's going to be drawn, so to speak, with Iran and in the Middle East, we don't know. Pray for their families and the loved ones as they endure the hardship and uncertainty of deployment. And always remember, people sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. This memorial message with a favorite poem by Marine Chaplain Father Dennis Edward O'Brien, which pays tribute to our courageous soldiers. I remember I read this one time. I was on a radio broadcast in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and a caller called in who happened to be a state representative. He said, "No, it's not the soldiers that protect us. It's the people in government." I said, "That's not true." And what I read to you was not my words anyway. It was a Marine chaplain, Father Dennis Edward O'Brien. And by the way, he was a chaplain, but he was also a Marine, which means he was trained as a rifleman, even though he was a chaplain. So he wrote this: "It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protesters to burn the flag." And of course, when I think of all that, it reminds me so much of the War for American Independence, otherwise known as the Revolutionary War, and those soldiers that died during that time. I am not familiar, actually, with too many of my ancestors that actually died in war. I know for sure one of my cousins died in the Second World War. He was a pilot in the Army Air Corps. So I'm sure I had other relatives in all the different wars that my people have fought in from Mayflower till now. So the history of Memorial Day. Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in service of the United States of America. And let me clarify here. Veterans Day is commemorating all people that have served in our military. But only Memorial Day is for those who have died in service of their country. Over 24 cities and towns claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. While Waterloo, New York was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May 1966, it's difficult to prove conclusively the origins of the day. Regardless of the exact day or location of the origins, one thing is clear. Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War and a desire to honor our dead. It was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order No. 11. The 30th of May, 1868, is designed for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in the defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard in the land. He proclaimed the date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any other particular battle. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. And I am a direct descendant of James Abram Garfield, and I'm proud to say that he did that very thing. And of course, notice I mentioned 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers. Today we have people wanting to knock down the statue of Robert E. Lee and so forth, and the other Confederate generals and so forth, as if it didn't happen and that they weren't great people. Well, I want to tell you, Robert E. Lee was one of the greatest men in our country and a descendant of one of our founding fathers. And of course, these were great men, even though I beg to differ with them in their choice of what side they took in what we call the war between the states. Some people from the South call it the war of northern aggression, whatever that you want to call it. We usually generally call it the Civil War. And of course, like all wars, they're not very civil at all. They're very uncivilized, very uncivil. War is very uncivilized. It may be organized, but it's not very civil. That's a message in itself. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all of the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. And I certainly am glad that it changed that way personally. It is now observed in almost every state on the last Monday in May, with congressional passage of the National Holiday Act of 1971, PL 90-363. This helped ensure a 3-day weekend for federal holidays, though several southern states have an additional separate day for honoring the Confederate war dead, January 19th in Texas, April 26th in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, May 10th in South Carolina, and June 3rd, Jefferson Davis's birthday, in Louisiana and Tennessee. Red Poppies. In 1915, inspired by the poem In Flanders Field, Moina Michel replied with her own poem, We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor bled. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies. That's really beautiful short poem. I like those short poems that have great meaning. So then, she then conceived in an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who died serving the nation during war. She was the first to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers, with the money going to benefit servicemen in need. Later, a Madame Guerin from France was visiting the U.S., United States, and learned of this new custom started by Mrs. Michael. When she returned to France, she made artificial red poppies to raise money for war orphaned children and widowed women. This tradition spread to other countries. In 1921, the Franco-American Children's League sold poppies nationally to benefit war orphans of France and Belgium. The League disbanded a year later, and Madame Guerin approached the VFW for help. Shortly before Memorial Day in 1922, the VFW, that's the Veteran of Foreign Wars, became the first veterans organization to nationally sell poppies. 2 years later, their Buddy Poppy program was selling artificial poppies made by disabled veterans. In 1948, the U.S. Post Office honored Mrs. Michael for her role in founding the National Poppy Movement by issuing a red 3-cent postage stamp. Yeah. I would like to... the bugler, so to speak, if we were at one of these memorial services in Memorial Day, and I remember numerous times in parades in Memorial Day that I marched. I used to march for the American Legion in 4 parades every Memorial Day and every Veterans Day. And I would sing taps, and it was interesting. One of the fellows said to me one time, I didn't know there were words to that song. I just thought it was something they played the music on the trumpet. Oh, there's very much words to it. Now, it's questionable which words are actually the words. There are several different versions. The version I'm going to use today came from Pennsylvania Military College. And, of course, I'm very fond of military colleges in general, whether it be West Point, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, Valley Forge Military Academy that I'm a graduate of. There's many, VMI, Virginia Military Institute, the Citadel, Norwich, of which my grandfather and one of his brothers, or two of his brothers, graduated from Norwich. That's a very good school in Vermont, too, a military school. So I'm fond of them and what they teach. I think that every young person should go to something of that nature. It's a great training, and knowing that we have people at least have a little bit of understanding of organization military-wise should they be called upon. So here is Taps. Day is done, gone the sun, from the lake, from the hills, from the sky. All is well, safely rest, God is nigh. Fading light dims the sight, and a star gems the sky, gleaming bright. From afar, drawing nigh, falls the night. Thanks and praise for our days, 'neath the sun, 'neath the stars, 'neath the sky. As we go, this we know, God is nigh. Sun has set, shadows come, time has fled, scouts must go to their beds. Always true to the promise that they made, while the light fades from sight, and the stars' gleaming rays softly send. To thy hands we our souls, Lord, commend. And salute. Father God, we salute you. First and always we salute you. Pro Deo et Libertat. And we salute our fallen veterans, our fallen soldiers. And we won't forget the sacrifice that they made. And we salute their families, because we know that families are greatly affected by the loss of their loved one in any way, but especially when they die in combat. Many of our soldiers still have not been returned, dead soldiers that we don't even know where they're buried. There are many across the world that died and are buried, and we don't even know where, but you know where. And Lord, so we salute them, we salute their families, and we salute those who have served and risked their lives. Also, we are saluting those that now are serving in Iraq and serving in Afghanistan and Somalia and all the places in the world, too many to mention. We do pray protection over them. And Lord, the best protection we could ever pray for them is that they come to know you as Lord and Savior. For those chaplains that are out there that have been restricted by government authorities that don't want them preaching Jesus, we pray those will be gotten out of the way. And it's a spiritual war we're fighting. Help us to stay strong in fighting that spiritual war until it's done. We'll fight this war until the war is over. Not until we're tired, not until we're just ready to go to sleep. We'll fight the war until the war is over. And because we're willing to fight to the death, we will win. You won, Jesus. You had victory over the cross and death and resurrection. And you'll come again soon. And you'll find us with a hand salute, ready and willing and able because of you. And this we pray in the name of no other king but King Jesus. Amen and amen.